Welcome to the Raise Private Money Legally podcast with your host, corporate securities attorney Kim Lisa Taylor. Kim is a nationally recognized attorney, speaker, and the author of two number one Amazon best-selling books, the latest of which is How to Raise Capital for Real Estate Legally. Kim and her firm, Syndication Attorneys, PLLC, have been responsible for over $2.75 billion in securities offerings. The purpose of this podcast is to introduce you to topics and services you need as your real estate syndication business grows. Whether you're a new syndicator or a seasoned fund manager, this podcast is for you. Information discussed during this free podcast is of a general, educational nature and should not be construed as legal or tax advice.
Hello and welcome to Syndication Attorneys' free monthly teleseminar, where we talk about topics of interest to real estate syndicators new and seasoned, with opportunity for live questions and answers at the end of the call. I am attorney Kim Lisa Taylor. Also joining me on the call is Charlene Standridge from our office and our special guest speaker. Today we're talking about crowdfunding and how you can use it to raise funds from high net worth investors. We have our very special guest with us today, Darren Powderly, who has joined us from CrowdStreet. Darren, introduce yourself and let's hear what you do and talk a little bit about CrowdStreet.
Kim, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be part of the teleseminar today. Thank you for having me. I know we've known each other for many years now. It's time flies. I think we first were introduced about 4 years ago. So pleasure to be part of this conference today. I am the founder of CrowdStreet. Nice to meet everybody electronically or via audio. And I started CrowdStreet in 2012 after about a 20-year career in mostly commercial real estate, some internet software, e-commerce, it's been an amazing ride to be a part of the growth of this industry and be fortunate enough to be a leader of within the industry itself and have some amazing customers and investors and now 65 employees.
Wow.
Supporting the lifestyles of our employees.
Yeah. That's fantastic. Well, absolutely. CrowdStreet is certainly a leader in the crowdfunding space. You guys hopped on board immediately, even before the regs were finalized, and started setting up your systems. And you've just had a top-notch operation ever since. And I can say that with full knowledge because I've had many experiences with my clients who have gone and put their deals on CrowdStreet and had very successful raises through CrowdStreet, and several of them have gone back again and again.
Right. Yes. And thank you. I mean, we really rely on this community, this ecosystem of people, thought leaders like yourself on the legal side. We obviously, the legal aspect of what we do is incredibly important. It's essential. And we take it very, very seriously. So we like our customers who are looking to learn about online capital formation or crowdfunding to, have a great counsel like yourself to help them navigate those waters. So, yeah, it's we've had a lot of great customers and many of them are coming back, and that's what we want, right? We want to identify the best real estate operators and developers throughout the country, and we want to have a programmatic fundraising relationship with them because it's we want to be reliable and responsible capital partner.
Oh, absolutely. I think you guys do everything by the book, as near as I can tell. And it's been really beneficial. So one of the things, let's just talk a little bit about specifically the services that you offer and how those work. And I'm not trying to make this an infomercial, but the listeners on the call today want to know how they can use crowdfunding in the future. Some of them are probably not ready to use it right now, but will be at some point. And so let's just talk about how a crowdfunding platform like yours works.
Sure. Crowdfunding is an interesting name. It's the easy name because, it's a hot button name, but I think it's actually quite misleading. Really, what we do at CrowdStreet and what many of our customers do is they syndicate their offerings. Now, syndication has been around for hundreds of years, and before the internet, it was done with your friends and family at the country club. What CrowdStreet really keyed in on is this fact that, we can help digitize that syndication experience through internet software and social networks and creating a community, right? And so the groups that we choose to work with on, this two-sided marketplace of ours at CrowdStreet.com, We've intentionally gone after institutional quality commercial real estate operators, investment firms, right? Especially those investment firms that either A, have syndication experience, which is most of our customers, so that they may not have been syndicating, with high net worth investors in the past, but they're very institutional, that they have a great track record. They have a great track record at the asset level. They've got institutional equity partners that they've worked with. Their return profile over a period of time, has been excellent. So really, we're looking for a truly best in class. So it's actually a very high bar for real estate companies to qualify for the CrowdStreet marketplace. And that's the way we chose to build our business. And it's been very good because the quality of the sponsor, the quality of the project, and the results have been top notch. To date, Kim, our results, we started the business in 2012 and launched the CrowdStreet marketplace in 2014. We've done over 250 deals, and about 15 of those have gone full cycle, right? They were launched, raised, operated, and now sold. They've been fully realized, and the investors have gotten their money back. About 15, just under 15. The average IRR is about 30%. It's outstanding. Right, the annual return that investors have received. Now, our timing was good. We worked with great operators, but our execution was also excellent. And it shows that when you have a mindset toward quality operators, quality projects, and investment structure that makes sense, when you're really looking out for the investors, that it's a better place to be. So that's what our marketplace seeks to do, is to give access to both the highest quality real estate operating companies in the United States to individual investors, right? Making that extremely,
So let's talk easy. About mechanically how this works. So CrowdStreet, so let's just even back up a little bit, because there might be some people who are joining us for the first time. So when you're selling securities, okay, then you have to either register your offering, which means taking it public and getting pre-approval from a regulatory agency, or qualifying for an exemption from registration. And mm-hmm. the exemptions that allow you to be able to advertise to investors are the ones that we're talking about today. And there's two of them. There's Regulation D, Rule 506C, which allows you mm-hmm. to raise an unlimited amount of money from an unlimited number of accredited investors, but they have to be verified that they are accredited. They can't just sign some, boxes on a form like they can with the other exemption, 506B, which is
it.
The friends and family
proof.
Exemption. Right. They have to provide some evidence that they are, and somebody has to look at that evidence. So so it's a verified accredited investors only. And then the mm-hmm. other option is a Reg A Plus, which is really a streamlined public offering. And that's something that can also be advertised to the general public. But I think the bulk of your clients are doing 506C offerings. Is that right?
That's correct. I mean, Reg D offerings have been around for a long time, and usually what they have been conducted as is true private placements, right? And so we look for firms that have issued private placements in the more traditional sense, and pre-Jobs Act of 2012, that was the only way that a private placement was issued underneath Reg D. But post the Jobs Act, which was a major, federal law change, which really enabled online capital formation as we know it, it said that if for the first time in about 70 years, issuers or, investment firms can actually tell people that they're raising money. It was huge. It was a transformative change in the way that capital is raised in this country, and we took advantage of it. So yes, we specialize with firms that want to do Reg D offerings. We prefer the 506C format, which is enabling or allowing general solicitation and advertising. We also have a smaller track that's actually purely private. It only is by invitation only that these offerings are on the CrowdStreet marketplace. There's no advertising whatsoever. It's a much smaller community of people that actually get invited to those offerings. So yes, that is true. Primarily,
so
what
you
we
can
do is
some,
Reg D offerings.
Primarily, you can do a few Reg D Rule 506B offerings in very limited circumstances.
Correct.
which is good for our clients to know, because some of them want, you know, they have friends and acquaintances that they want to be able to bring into their deals who aren't accredited. And then they also want to be able to crowdfund and use your services to be able to push it out to a broader base, perhaps than what they know. But they wouldn't be able to do that if it was a 506C and it precluded anybody who was non-accredited to invest. So that's good to know. So so you guys have.
And then the Reg A thing, just before we move on, like we haven't done as many Reg A's, but we're excited about that part of the industry. You know, part of our mission is to provide all, you know, investors access, right? And clearly the allowing, you know, the true democratization is to allow all investors to participate. So there's a major segment, the majority of investors, you know, are not accredited. And so, you know, what can we do? What are we do? What are we thinking about to service those investors? We're absolutely thinking about them. Just the progression of our business, due to the securities laws in America, and due to the change, which is, you know, slow to come about, they permit a lot of people to participate, right? Non-accredited investors. It's just that there's still an evolution happening there. There's still growth happening to really make the Reg A offering type live up to its potential. But we're staying, you know, we're staying really, you know, close to that and watching that trend happen. And eventually we'll have a variety of investment vehicles where non-accredited investors can participate.
All right. So the one thing that we're not talking about, and I think we need to make this clarification, is regulation crowdfunding. So when the Jobs Act was passed, there were multiple parts to it, and one part authorized something called that was ultimately called regulation crowdfunding. The other part authorized the Reg D Rule 506 expansion to allow advertising for accredited only investors. That's the Rule 506C, and then it also authorized the Reg A Plus. So the regulation crowdfunding was the one that got all the big buzz in the beginning, but then it kind of fizzled because it took them so long to get the regulations out that the other two 506C and Reg A Plus regulations preceded it. So everybody started using the term crowdfunding for 506C and Reg A Plus offerings. And so that's when the SEC realized that they actually couldn't just call their initial regulation crowdfunding. They were just calling crowdfunding. They realized they had to give it another name. So they now called it regulation crowdfunding. And that's the one where you could raise.
Which didn't help.
No, it really doesn't. It's still very confusing.
They don't have marketing experts on their team over there at the SEC.
No, that's true. So, but what the regulation crowdfunding is, it, just so you know, because you're going to hear about it, and some people are going to try to confuse you as far as, you know, the listeners are concerned. Regulation crowdfunding allows you to raise up to $1 million in a 12-month period, and you can advertise to anybody, and you can accept money from anybody as long as they don't invest more than $2,000. If they invest more than $2,000, then you have to start looking at their financials and their financial qualifications. But it's really designed for someone who has a one-time raise for a specific thing. So somebody wants to open a restaurant, or you want to, you know, buy a business.
It just doesn't work.
It doesn't work for real estate.
I mean, it's dead on arrival as far as real estate investors are concerned. Nobody's doing it. We have no intention of doing it. If somebody came to us this afternoon and said, I want to do a regulation crowdfunding offering type, we'd say, sorry, we're not the solution for you. Why do you want to do that? You know, have you considered a Reg D, 506C or B? Have you considered even a Reg A? That regulation crowdfunding thing. And that's one of the reasons I don't like the word crowdfunding, because it just confuses the heck out of people. We talk to attorneys all the time, you know, bright people that, you know, like, crowdfunding. So how do you do that? I'm like, what do you mean by that? It's like, this is a very simple concept. We're taking friends and family money, the pooling of individual investors' capital, we're buying shares in an LLC. It's syndication. It's been going on for hundreds of years. It's been going on for dozens of years, many, many decades, you know, in an offline format. All we've done is shifted online. So despite the word crowd in our name, you know, we are often educating, you know, people that this is online syndication, online capital formation.
Well, and I explain it a slightly different way. I just say it's a way to advertise a securities offering, which means you already have to have a securities offering before you can start advertising. Because the question I get quite frequently is, well, should I crowdfund or should I syndicate? And it's like, the answer is yes, but you have to syndicate first, and then you can crowdfund if you pick the right exemption that allows you to advertise and you have the right experience. So that's where we get back to you is, and before we move on from this, I just want to talk about one other service. Well, let's see. I want to kind of drill down into the types of services that you offer, because it's really important to understand that there's different types of crowdfunding companies out there. There are some companies, this isn't what you guys do, but there are other companies that will sub-syndicate your offering. So if you have a deal and you're trying to raise $1 million, instead of you having your own securities offering, they might say, well, we'll raise all the money for you, but we're going to do our own syndication. We're going to advertise it to our family and friends and our group network of investors, and then we'll come in and invest as a single investor in your deal. I can tell you that that is problematic for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac investors, because, or for syndicators that are using Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac loans to acquire properties, as so many of our multifamily clients are doing, because Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac just recently issued some guidelines that basically said you can only accept 25% of your funds from that type of a crowdfunding source. And the reason that they've limited that is because a lot of those sub-syndicator crowdfunding companies don't want to sign on loans. And Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac doesn't want anybody to come into their deal who takes on a big chunk of your deal and maybe could get some kind of a controlling or influencing interest, unless they've been underwritten. So if they don't want to be underwritten, then they're not going to let them come in for a significant portion of the deal, and they're going to put some really pretty strict criteria on them if they're going to do that. But what you guys are doing is different than that. So you guys actually have a platform, a marketing platform, right? That's what you're calling it. Right? Where you are, you know, you're vetting these syndicators, deciding who you'll accept or who you can accept, who you think you could be successful helping raise money. And then if you accept someone and put them on your platform, of course, they pay some fees for that. And then you will push that out to your database of verified accredited investors. Am I saying that correctly?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, we call it our model, we call it the direct to investor. And it's truly direct to investor. I've seen it on, and what we call the other model that you described just a moment ago, we call that the SPV, right? And so the platform in that SPV model, you know, forms its own entity. It becomes the issuer and, you know, basically blocks the investor from the actual sponsor, or issuer, right?
Right.
And so, you know, so there's a blockade there, and they like it that way. In our model, there's no blockade at all. It is truly the investors are signing the sponsor subscription agreement. And the beauty of that is transparency, right? That's the thing that the internet does so well, is to create transparency and efficiency across all industries. And we like this model, even though it's been a harder model to execute on, because it truly does, you know, it's truly transformative, right? These sponsors love it because they know exactly who their investors are, and they get to build a relationship with those individual investors. And our customers, the ones that are attracted to us, you know, they're actually interested in that. They're saying, I have institutional investors, I've got some family offices or semi-institutional investors, and then I've got my banks, and I want to know more individual investors, right? So CrowdStreet, you're gonna help, you know, build my brand and introduce me to 50,000 plus people via this, you know, this marketing campaign that you're gonna run, and a portion of those people, a small percentage but still a portion, will submit an offer. I'll sign the sponsor subscription agreement. So there's a direct legal relationship between those two parties, and CrowdStreet's not in the middle. And on an ongoing basis, you know, during the investment term, the sponsor reports directly to the investor. CrowdStreet absolutely sticks around throughout that investment term, right? partially to protect the investor, right? Investors have questions. Maybe the sponsor misses a report. You know, maybe things don't go perfectly. And even if they do go perfectly, you know, we're sort of in an IR, investor relations, you know, support to both investors and sponsor. We also provide that investor management software solution, because when you syndicate at scale to dozens or hundreds or thousands of individual investors, which is absolutely happening, you need great technology. And that's the other thing that we provide to our customers and to our investors, of course, is an investment management solution. Fundraising is the core benefit of CrowdStreet, or online investing is a core benefit for CrowdStreet investors, right? To be able to meet you know, these great sponsors with these interesting offerings where they can invest with a few clicks of a button in a matter of minutes. But then you're in business with that sponsor. The investor is an investor with that sponsor for 5 to 7, sometimes 10 years to come, right? Well, right. We provided that investment management solution to ensure that communications, that investor reporting and communications continues, right? That's critical to the overall well-being and sort of health of that relationship. And we provide those tools and those services, those investor relations services as well, to both investors and sponsors.
So, and what if there's a sponsor who just can't get through your vetting process? Don't you still have an opportunity for them to use that investment management solution?
Absolutely. So we often do have to politely decline. While we appreciate, you know, the opportunity to meet a new, you know, a sponsor and look at their deal, we've got several reasons why we have to keep our volume in check and our quality bar, according to the standards as we define them, you know, basically very high. So it's not easy to get on the CrowdStreet marketplace, but we've seen many groups graduate and get there over time as they build track record, as they return capital to their own investors, right, as they perform and build their business and prove themselves. And so what we do offer as both to our, you know, core customers, as well as to any other real estate company that would like to license the solution, is basically a white label version of all the technology that we've developed. And this is both a fundraising solution as well as an investor reporting or investment management solution. We use the same technology to power our business. We're at 50,000 investors and hundreds of customers. We've done, you know, $425 million of fundraising on the CrowdStreet marketplace. Well, it's basically taking all that technology and delivering it to a company, a sponsor, so that they can use it on their website in fully branded environment, and have a back office tool and a CRM system and document management, a way for them to calculate distributions and returns and distribute that information. It's a very, very robust solution. So sometimes it is a backup when we say, I apologize, but, you know, for these reasons, you know, you're not going to qualify for the CrowdStreet marketplace today. But if you'd like to start syndicating online, and we have the tools and technology and best practices, we can help you do this. And that'll actually help you qualify for the CrowdStreet marketplace in the future. So it is a very interesting way to sort of seed, you know, the overall industry, both for investors and sponsors, so that there's more online investing happening.
It's a huge benefit, and I have a lot of clients that are starting to look into investor management systems, and yours is definitely one of the ones that they're always looking at. And it doesn't, you know, on your first deal you might not need it. You might not need it on your second deal. It all depends on how many investors you have in your raise. The SEC has some statistics from a couple years ago that said that the average or the median raise amount for a 506 offering was $2 million with 14 investors. So, you know, maybe you can manage 30 investors for your first couple of deals, but when you start getting 45 and 60 and, you know, into the hundreds, you're going to want some online tools to be able to handle all of that and to help you manage that back office. You know, traditionally, when people got to those levels, they would do a fund and they would hire a fund manager who would handle all that stuff. This is kind of the technology version of the, you know, your own fund manager working in the background for you. But it does take some effort to maintain the information in that database, does it not?
It does, but it is extremely user-friendly. It's technology, it's software that's built for bricks and mortar minds, right? So we have to make this technology super simple. And that's one of the challenges of really delivering a technology solution to a real estate owner operator is that you have to make it like this iPhone here. So easy to use that whether you're 8 years old or 80 years old, intuitively you're going to get it fairly quickly and it's just going to work. Right. And so that's one of our design, you know, philosophies. And so, yes, and we have a starter package. It's really inexpensive for those groups that just want to get going and they can use it all they want. Right. For the entire year. We'll check with them next year. Well, we'll check in with them monthly. But, you know, at the end of the next year, we'll say, hey, you know, were you successful? Did you grow your portfolio? Did you grow the number of investors that you're managing? Did syndication happen, you know, for you more rapidly than when you started the year? Did you grow? And did we help you grow? And if so, then yeah, we'll probably ratchet up the subscription base a little bit based upon things like how many fully executed subscriptions did you do this past year, or how much equity under management are you now managing versus 12 months ago?
So. Right. Okay. Well, that's fantastic.
So we have an alignment of interest, really. That's the other thing is we always have an alignment of interest with our customers, with our sponsors, both on the marketplace, right, as well as on the software, right? Both things are sort of geared toward helping our sponsors grow their business.
Well, and that's how we view our business as well. You know, we want to take one-time syndicators and turn them into many-time syndicators. And we've had a lot of clients that we've been able to help through that process. And usually we don't introduce them to you until they've done four or five deals and, you know, kind of starting to meet the criteria that you're looking for. And earlier than that, then, you know, we'll suggest they might want to look into the investor management solution and the white label portion of your site before they're ready to post on your site. But the other thing I often tell people is, you know, how do you get experience when you don't have it? Well, how do you get money when you need it to buy a house? Well, you use leverage, and, you know, and when you're buying your house, you're using leverage from a bank, but you can leverage other people's experience in order to elevate your own. So if you're a new syndicator and you don't have the kind of experience that would allow you to get accepted onto CrowdStreet's platform, then you might want to find somebody who does have that level of experience and team with them, and all of a sudden you're going to look a whole lot better to CrowdStreet, and you may be able to get on their platform. You're going to be able to widen your network of investors and contacts, and you'll be able to grow your business kind of exponentially faster by doing something like that than just trying to do it, you know, all on your own without any experience to start.
That's a great suggestion. You know, if a entrepreneur, real estate entrepreneur, is starting out or just, you know, in the early phases of their career, we call them emerging managers, and we applaud them. You know, and we want to kind of help them become, you know, seasoned managers or tenured managers over decades, right? And so, while CrowdStreet does focus on seasoned and tenured managers or sponsors, we love emerging managers, and actually we work with emerging managers from time to time on the marketplace. There has to be a really special or compelling story for an emerging manager to make it on the CrowdStreet marketplace, but that happens at any given time. You'll find one or two, and then we want to basically give them a playbook to help them, you know, build that track record. And sometimes, as you mentioned, it's teaming up with a more experienced operator in their town who has, you know, complementary yet similar experience in the particular geographic area that they're focusing on the business, or the product type, or, you know, the business plan, value add or ground up development or income, you know, things like that. So we want to try to help those emerging managers graduate and get their track record so that someday we are doing business together. And if they'd like to license the white label software today, now again, that's one way we can empower them. We can give them some best practices.
Going to add instant credibility to your deal also if you have that kind of a platform where you can have your investors go on and they can see that this is, you know, a very sophisticated way for them to enter their own data, look at their own investments and see what's going on and have transparency with your company. They're going to like that. They're going to see that you're a professional company, that you're not just a fly by night, and they'll be more likely to invest. So I think that all is really great stuff. So let's just talk for a minute about, you said something earlier that probably scared the heck out of a lot of people on this call. And you said that you have a lot of people that have done these full cycle investments, but they're now, you know, they're showing an average of 30% returns. And I can just hear the callers today gasping and going, but we can't even find things that are offering, you know, like 20% returns. How are we going to compete? How are we going to do that? Are you seeing some shifts in the marketplace where the returns are starting to come down?
Absolutely. Yes. I mean, we were very, very fortunate. We were literally born out of the Great Recession. Right. It was all the pain and suffering and carnage that happened during the Great Recession, which gave life to this concept that wasn't day one, you know, crowdfunding portal or, you know, white label software. So, you know, we started doing deals with groups, you know, when real estate prices were still depressed. 2014, there were a lot of great deals out there all over the country. In some ways, the country had yet to recover. Our first deal was in Indiana, and it was a ground-up senior living deal. It returned 14%. Now, that's probably actually, you know, today more in line with where we're seeing, you know, total return projections, and it, of course, depends on location and property type. But anyway, we were fortunate with our timing, and we were skilled in our execution working with these select groups, and we've been lucky. Right. So we're not projecting 30% moving forward. We're not looking at deals right today. We haven't been the last couple of years. So yields are, of course, lower. What we're looking for is realistic underwriting and, you know, backed up by data. You know, we're looking for experts on the ground who understand their market, who understand the comps, who, if they're doing a value add business model, you know, have a track record of doing value add. And we're looking for you know, again, back to the track record, most of the success that we've seen with these emerging managers, you know, what they've done exceptionally well is not only executing at the asset in their business plan, value add or development or even just buying and holding, right? But what they've done incredibly well is reporting and communicating and taking great care of their investors, right? That the investors care more about that, you know, they care almost as much as actually getting the distributions and their money back, to return of and on principle. That's number one. Number two is reporting and communicating, right, with them on what's going on and showing distributions and accurate reporting, right? They want their online real estate portfolio, which we give them, to be as accurate as their fidelity statement.
Right.
And in the private equity real estate space is way behind the times in that respect.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And even with our awesome tools and even with us sort of cracking the whip all the time on sponsors, repeating this daily, there's holes in the data. And we're trying to solve for that in a number of different ways. My advice to any manager, emerging or tenured, and anything in between, would be, you know, not only execute on the business plan, return of principal, you know, as projected, of course, but return on principal and of principal, but also to report to your investors in a timely and consistent manner.
Right? Yes.
And they will love that. They will love you for that.
What do you recommend for that? Just out of curiosity, do you recommend that people do newsletters or teleconferences or just through the
It doesn't have to be complicated. Those are all great things. You know, those are great things. But as simple as, you know, a quick memo on whatever reporting schedule that you have, whether that be monthly or quarterly, but most of our sponsors are reporting quarterly.
Okay.
And some of them have, you know, deep accounting and investor relations teams, you know, a dozen people, but most of them don't. So, you know, it's like, keep it simple and accurate, and make sure that it's a system that is repeatable, and, you know, make sure you do it, right? And so
right.
Report the condition, you know, property, give the executive summary. You know, the investors don't need to know everything that the property or asset manager needs to know. They need to know a quick summary of it. It could be a page or two, right?
Right.
But also, in addition to the summary, right, make sure your tax documents are on time. Investors hate when their K-1s are late, right? That's just giving them a reason to be upset. And sometimes it's difficult in the private placement industry. We get it. I personally never file my taxes on time. I'm always getting an extension. But by and large, investors don't like that, right? So be on time. And then lastly is make sure the accounting is correct, right? Bars and charts and graphs showing returns over time and distribution amounts. That we've simplified that, you know, for investors. We have plugins to QuickBooks or even Yardi and other enterprise accounting systems. So whether you do your books in an Excel spreadsheet or QuickBooks or, you know, entrepreneurial sort of tools, or you have an enterprise software tool, you know, our system, you know, connects to those systems so that you could push the information out and then publish that information on a quarterly basis to the investors.
Nice.
Incredibly important.
Very nice. So you're saying that your system actually has some kind of a reporting function in it so that you can craft that as a regular quarterly report that you send out?
Exactly. And it is
wow.
all dynamic.
That's
in
nice.
A web page.
Fantastic.
It's all dynamic in a web page, and we also have the ability to download those dynamic reports. So create the report that the investor can create the report or the view that they prefer and download it. The sponsor can, of course, also do that. For instance, you know, a portion of their investors might not have a computer and want, you know, to get USPS,
paper.
You know, envelopes and papers. That's fine, right? You have to deliver the communication style that your investor prefers. The system, you know, can help you do that.
That's fantastic. And yeah, and you know, I'm all about automation. As a lot of people that are on this call know, we are a virtual law firm and we have staff all over the country and we travel a lot. So we are paperless. Everything we do is online and we're constantly evaluating new online systems that can help make our lives easier and things more automatic and more consistent. So, you know, as you grow your business, you have to learn how to do the exact same things we have to do as we grow our business. So we try to share those with you, and this is one of those opportunities. I just have one more question, and then I think we should go to Q&A. But I often tell people that come to me and say, well, you know, what kind of returns do I have to meet? I tell them to go to your website and look at the deals you got posted and say, there's your competition. You know, if you're not offering something that has similar returns and similar kind of fee schedules and waterfalls that are shown on the CrowdStreet marketplace, you might be out of line unless they're doing like a really small deal in their little local town and their investors are very local. Then sometimes you don't have to meet those kind of national standards. But if you're planning on doing an offering and sending out to a national audience, you know, all of those investors that you're going to be talking to have the opportunity to grow on CrowdStreet and look at what they're doing. And if they're comparing CrowdStreet's deals to your deal and your deal doesn't measure up, then you may not get the investment and CrowdStreet investors might. So let's talk a little bit about the kind of waterfalls and manager's fees that you see accepted on the marketplace that your investors don't push back on.
Sure. Yeah, great question, because, you know, there's 1,000 different ways to make a waterfall and all sorts of fees and so forth. And, you know, the important thing to know is that we want our sponsors to make money, and the investors understand that sponsors are going to make money. And then also, you know, we are in this, again, highly transparent, scalable, national, global, you know, online community of investors. Some of them are PhDs. Some of them are billionaires, right? Many of them are super high net worth professional investors. They're real estate professionals as well. Right? I've been surprised, pleasantly surprised, at the education level and the savviness of our investor community, especially the active investors, right? And so a lot of people ask, like, who are these investors? You know, where do they come from? You know, why do they invest online? And the answer is, they're the millionaire next door. They're your real estate broker. They're your financial advisor. They're your the kid who works at the tech company. You know, they're savvy people. They're not dummies. And so it comes back around to, you know, investment structure, right? So when considering investment structure for a syndication, you know, whether you're doing it online or offline, you know, the lens should be, you know, what's fair for you as the sponsor so that you can run your business, right? And profit if you execute on your business plan. Absolutely, right? And there's that alignment of interest, which is a wonderful thing in real estate, private equity real estate as we know it today. You know, yeah, there's an acquisition fee, there's an asset management fee, property management, construction management fee. There's all these layers of fees that each one needs to be looked at, you know, and compared to quote market. But at the end of the day, in most of the waterfall structures that we see, if the real estate operator executes on their business plan, their promote is going to reward them greatly. And the promote being the return, you know, the profit that they make after return of capital to the individual investors or to the LPs in their syndication. They're the GP, you got all these LPs. The LPs should be, you know, giving their capital back first. Maybe there's a catch up, right? The other thing that I would say is that 100% of the deals that you'll see on the CrowdStreet marketplace, sponsors have skin in the game. The guidance is 10%. 10% of equity. Okay. It's invested pari passu with the individual investors, right? It has to be enough to keep that you know, motivation alive. So
just to put this in layman's terms that our clients would understand is, you know, you got to put 10% of your own money in the deal, and you're going to put that right alongside your other investors. So if you're in one of our structures where we have a Class A, B structure, you're buying Class A interest, you're buying 10% of those interests yourself. So think about that. Thank you. So what kind of splits are you seeing? Like, say, if there's it's a multifamily property and it's got operating cash flow, preferred returns for your Class A investors? What are you seeing?
Yeah, of course, there's a range, but I would say, like, you know, just generically for buying existing property of anything, you know, call it a 7 to 8% preferred return.
Okay.
To the Class A members of the LPs.
Catch up to the manager after that. Yep. Okay. That's
sometimes,
how we look to structure them. Yep. And then a split.
And then a split in, you know, 80-20, 70-30.
60-40.
Like that. Okay. There, usually when we're looking at and accepting a 60-40, there has to be a story behind that, because that would be kind of slightly out of market, right? For the first tier over a 7% to go to 60-40, a little aggressive on behalf of the sponsor, right? Not as friendly to the investors, right? 70-30 would be, you know, more in line, up to say a 15%, you know, return. And then, you know, maybe then it goes to a 60-40 or a 50-50. So those are some.
We write a lot of those.
Right.
What about, let's see, duration? How long are people holding deals on your site? Like, you know, what are the
what's their hold term for CrowdStreet? Again, we're doing institutional quality commercial real estate, is 5 to 7 years. 5.3 years has been the historical average of deals on the CrowdStreet marketplace.
Do you know anything about the opportunity zones and qualified opportunity funds? Have you had inquiries about that?
Talk about them every day. Been talking about them since they first came out in the news. So about 9 months ago, we started getting serious about opportunity zones and trying to figure out, you know, how our investors, you know, would there be demand from investors?
Right. Okay.
Yes, there's demand from investors.
Really?
Which one of our sponsors? Yeah, there's certainly demand from investors on qualified opportunity zone. I mean, you think about it, it's an incredible tax benefit for individual investors who have capital gains. right? So it allows them to defer capital gains 100% for a period of 7 to 10 years. And if they're in investment for 10 years, they defer 100% of those capital gains that they were to incur in, say, 2018 or 2019.
Right. We've got a whole teleseminar on that, so we don't need to go into the details of it. If anybody's interested in that, go on our website under the free info tab, look at our past teleseminars. We did one just a couple of months ago on the qualified opportunity funds and qualified opportunity zones, and we're actually writing some right now. So, you know, there is some opportunity. And the reason I wanted to ask you about it is because it really is a subset of the wider investor base, because it doesn't benefit cash investors. So unless somebody actually has gain from another property, they're the only ones that are going to be benefited from this. So it should not be your sole fundraising source unless you have a way to tap into a market that has a lot of those investors with gain in it. And so to hear that you guys have investors that do have that kind of gain that are interested in that, that's encouraging. So I think that we should give out our contact information and go to the live Q&A. Does CrowdStreet have educational materials on your site that some of our callers can go in and look at and get educated about crowdfunding?
Absolutely. We have a ton of educational materials. Of course, any modern company would probably take this approach. CrowdStreet, I'm very proud of the fact that we have exceptional educational materials. You go to crowdstreet.com on the top bar. I'm glancing up at my other screen here. It says investing, education, what's new? So click on that education. You will see the basics, a learning center, you know, webinars, you know, events. And so we have this like multi-channel education system happening for both investors, which is what you would find there, as well as for businesses. There's a separate website to go to, you know, top right of the website at crowdstreet.com. You can see for business. That's our B2B website. So we have an interesting marketing challenge because most of the people that visit our website are actually investors. And then a portion of them are sponsors. And so they go to a separate. Yeah.
Okay, well, great. So that's good to know. Make sure you guys click on so anybody who's interested in being an issuer on your website or just getting the educational information, would they go to that business portion of the website?
Yes. So if there's a ton there for all of us to learn about, you know, on private equity real estate investing and the terms and so forth. And so I would check out both at crowdstreet.com education tab. And then crowdstreet.com/business is the B2B site if you're interested in products and services as an issuer.
Perfect. And then some of you know we also have a lot of articles and teleseminars and FAQs posted on our website about syndication, and that's syndicationattorneys.com. CrowdStreet's website is crowdstreet.com. Darren, who should they call if someone wants to call and speak to somebody at CrowdStreet?
Yes, please call our main line. At CrowdStreet is 888-432-7693. 888-432-7693. That's the main line at CrowdStreet, and would love to talk with you, learn more about you, and see if we can be of service to you.
Great. And then our contact information, if you want to email us, you can email info@syndicationattorneys.com. If you want to call us, you can call 844-SYNDICATE. That's 844-796-3428. And or you can go to our website, and on our website that you can schedule a meeting. There's a tab on every site that you can just schedule a meeting with one of us and get some info. But I do encourage you to go to our free info tab and educate yourself. There's about 30 different 1 to 2 page articles there about all different aspects of syndication, and we will be posting this recording on that site. So we've got a couple of calls in the chat right now. Frenchie says, who handles or manages lenders, CrowdStreet or the borrower, and what is the average number of borrowers per raise? And I'm going to answer first that we're not talking about borrowers here. We're talking about equity investors, borrowers or lenders. So if you're, you know, if you're investing in commercial grade real estate, you're not going to use private lenders, because you're going to get an institutional loan on that property and they're going to prohibit any subordinate debt. So they're not going to allow you to have any private lenders, but they will allow you to have equity investors. And those are the kinds of investors that are investing through the CrowdStreet platform. Walt says, how can we get more information on the white label capabilities that CrowdStreet has available? Darren?
Well, you can call me. You can call anybody at that number I just gave you. You can also email info@crowdstreet.com. Somebody will get back to you right away. We'll show you both online. We can do an online demo for you, kind of teach you what's involved or what's included with the solution. I've got a bunch of webinars that are recorded and so forth, but happy to talk you through who you are, what your business is today, what your business goals are, just to confirm that our solution is something that would help be helpful for you. And if so, yes, we would love to have that conversation and move ahead.
All right. Craig says, what's been the best advertising medium for a capital raise? So I'm not sure I totally understand that question, but I would have to say probably online, right? Some form of online email advertising.
Yes. So let's assume it's all online, although we do in-person events and so forth as well. The majority of our advertising is digital marketing to create demand generation, you know, in an online format. So, you know, content remains king. And one of the reasons why that education center is so robust is that, you know, we have invested heavily in producing excellent content because that drives, of course, inbound marketing. Now, an entrepreneur or a sponsor, you know, is not going to have the same sort of ability to produce, you know, a library full of great content. So, you know, I would say pick and choose. Like, you know, social selling is really important. Because, you know, Kim and I were joking about the fact selling your deal to strangers, and that actually is true, but it's sort of scary at the same time. And, you know, it starts with getting the word out to your friends and family, right? Because if you have like that core, you know, circle of friends, and then they're in, and there's trust evolved there, that trust can then build to other circles of friends and influencers out, right? So in LinkedIn, you have like, hey, your first connections, your second connections, your third connections, right? More than likely, it's not somebody in like a seventh connection coming out of nowhere. It's somebody probably in that second degree or third degree of separation, right? Somebody who knows you and or the people that you know. So that would be the number one thing that I would say as just like the ABCs of marketing. The other, I would point you to like one other resource on this exact same topic, and I'm happy to answer the question offline. You can email info@crowdstreet.com. We actually have a guideline of all the things. It's like a blueprint. Like, hey, are you an entrepreneur sponsor? You want to start doing some online capital formation on your own portal? Do this stuff. It's like a guidebook. And so there's great resources there. But
oh, that's,
a lot of
that's
sort of,
so
you know,
funny.
Get started simply.
That's very funny. Mm-hmm. Some of you know I've been writing a book for a long time that actually the draft is going to be done by the end of the year, and it's going to be going to publication. So we will have a book. We don't have a name for it yet, but it's about syndicating real estate and other things. And I actually have a section in there on a blueprint for developing relationships with investors. So that's funny that you've kind of come to the same term. All right, so let's see. Harold, how can CrowdStreet help somebody who's been in corporate facilities management for 17 years, wants to be an owner? Actually, Harold, my suggestion to you is that you need to go out and get educated on the kind of real estate you want to become an owner of. If you're talking about just becoming an investor, I think there's probably a lot of resources for you on CrowdStreet's website. But if you want to become a syndicator, then visit our website. Visit their website, on some of those other pages that Darren was talking about for the issuers and for syndicators, but you really have to go out and learn about what you're going to buy and get some experience doing that. And your first few deals, you may want to team with some other experienced people. So for instance, if you want to learn how to buy multifamily properties and you want to become a syndicator of multifamily properties, there are half a dozen trainers out there that will help you do that. I can tell you where most of my successful repeat syndicators come from is out of the RE Mentor group. But there are some other trainers out there that have some top-notch training as well. There's Jake and Gino. There's Vinny Chopra. There's some other guys that I there's Rod Cleef. I know I'm probably forgetting some of the other people that I should be mentioning, but there's a lot of people. There's a many podcasts on real estate. So read our newsletters. We briefly mention the people that we have contact with and that we think are offering good educational advice. But that's what you need to do is get educated first on what you're going to buy, because this is not a place to make $100,000 mistakes with other people's money. You need to know what you're doing before you start asking other people for money, and you need to put together an experienced team in order to be able to competently handle those funds and handle the properties and do it in such a way that it actually has the result that you and all of your investors want. And then once you've done that three or four times, all the way through from purchase to sale, then you might have the experience that CrowdStreet's looking for so that they would take you seriously.
And that's sound advice. And you mentioned it briefly, but I want to highlight it. My advice to this gentleman would be, my question, do you really want to be a syndicator or do you want to be an investor?
Right.
100% of the people on this call, we are investors, either as individual sort of passive investors, we want to put $10,000 or $25,000 into a deal, or because we want to be syndicators or because we are syndicators, right? We are all investors. We all have this investor mindset. The number one thing that I would recommend to this gentleman, this person, is to say, best way to get started is to study all the deals. And Kim, you had mentioned this earlier, study all the deals on the site. And, if you're ready to make an informed investment decision on a single property or even a portfolio that you'll find on the CrowdStreet Marketplace, great. Like, that's the way to get started. If you can't make up your mind on which deal on the CrowdStreet Marketplace is best for you, because we admit it's actually kind of scary to press that orange invest now button with $10,000 or $25,000, look at the blended portfolio, which is basically an index fund or a mutual fund of all the live offerings on the marketplace, with few exceptions, and you get instant diversification, as we say, with one click. One click, instant diversification, and you'll get reports on all those deals from CrowdStreet. It's one of our first investment vehicles. We're super excited about it, and it's an easy way to get going.
So I just want to mention one other thing that's going to be exciting and coming up for the new year with Syndication Attorneys, and that is that we are going to be opening a web store and where we're going to actually sell some products. And the products we're selling are some marketing-related products, so things you need to be able to look more professional and to tell your story in a more professional way. So we're going to offer investment summaries for people that are doing blind pool investment funds. That's kind of your business plan, placed in a nice graphic format, professionally edited. If you want us to put together your property summary, we can help you with that as well. And I know CrowdStreet, for people that post on your website, you also have those services, but not everybody's going to use that or be able to use that yet.
We don't put together pitch books. Groups come to us and look for offering memos and pitch books and so forth. We don't do that. For their investor documents and their
We're going to start doing that. So we will have a web store that has those products available starting around the first of the year. And we'll be talking about that more in an upcoming teleseminar. But I want to thank everybody so much for taking time out of your day to spend with us today. And, we love that you come on to our calls and you listen and you ask great questions. And we are happy to take calls or questions from any of you. Again, our website is syndicationattorneys.com and Darren's website is crowdstreet.com. So we hope to have all of you as clients soon. And Darren, thank you so much for coming on the call today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Kim. And
right.
thanks
Thank
to all
you.
the listeners, both today and in the future. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Raise Private Money Legally podcast with your host, securities attorney Kim Lisa Taylor. If you liked this episode, please subscribe and leave a review. Syndication Attorneys PLLC is a law firm that provides syndication and fund documents, offers commercial real estate transactional services, and creates professionally designed investor marketing materials for capital raising clients nationwide. Visit syndicationattorneys.com to schedule an appointment and sign up to get a copy of our latest book, How to Raise Capital for Real Estate Legally, the only guide you need to raise private money legally for real estate funds and syndications.